again, we're back. I am really happy to be here for our next episode. I think we're going to be talking about level four today.
Yes, Richard Rohr's 9 Stages of Development, level four.
And we have already discussed 1, 2, and 3.
That's right.
Every time we talk about these things, I'm wondering, okay, where am I? Where am I?
I know. We're all, that's the fun thing about these narcissistic.
I'm always like, oh, I hope I'm at least at level three. But then when I really get into the discussion and listen to Father Rohr, I'm wondering, am I stuck?
I mean, I think in different days, you're in different places, right? When you're met with a fight or flight situation, we all go back to level one. If my house is on fire, I'm grabbing my babies and getting out of there. Oh. I'm not worried about my neighbor. I'm not worried about my culture. But, you know, we become level two when we're at a new job. What do I wear? What am I supposed to wear? How am I going to function here? We, you know, can move into level three when we're back with our families of origin, which is a great Thanksgiving dinner is a time for level three.
And can we ever make that huge leap into four?
So difficult.
And by the way, we got carried away, Anne.
Oh, yes. Well, it's...
You're listening to Faith and Reason 360. We would again like to welcome everyone. This is our fourth podcast featuring Father Richard Rohr. And this series, we're listening to audio from Father Rohr from one of our Faith and Reason seminars where Father Rohr describes what he calls the 9 stages of spiritual development. And I am Debo Dykes.
And I am Ann Phelps. And just for our listeners, we try our best to be a socially conscious and responsive organization and group of people collectively and individually. And this will date where we are, but we are in a moment right now where we are waiting to hear our phone's New York Times updates on whether or not the Senate Judiciary Committee confirms and moves forward with the nomination of Brett Kavanaugh to the Supreme Court. Yesterday was a heavy, heavy day in this country where many of us were consumed with watching the news and trials and all kinds of emotions and traumas brought up. And so we think it's important and responsible to name that and call that into this space. Debo and I were just speaking about how, you know, I have a little boy and a little girl, and how I've had a lot of people say to me in recent days, you know, how hard it must be to be raising a baby girl in this culture. And honestly, the stakes are much higher for my boy, because if my little girl winds up in that situation, that is tragic and traumatic. But my little boy's soul is at stake in this culture of toxic masculinity and patriarchy. And so I just want to name those feelings that are informing our conversation and be with you all and sit with you all in this moment as a country where I think pretty much everyone has something at stake and some kind of struggle in this moment. With that said, we will move, and that will likely inform our conversation around Father Rohr's discussion of stage four. So let's hear what he has to say about that.
Normally, to move from stage three to stage four, you have to suffer a major defeat, shock, humiliation. This was the function of male initiation. To lead a male, at least to stage four, because that's when the real spiritual journey begins. Up to that point, it's just posturing and pretending, right? With my ideas, my feelings, my groups, belonging systems, substitute for transformational systems. Because I belong to the right groups, I must be mature, superior, or transformed. So in men's work, we call it the sacred wound, that without the wounding, and there was not an initiation rite I studied where the young boy was not symbolically or ritually or really wounded. And what he does with his wounding is the pivotal point of the whole journey. If somehow when he's betrayed, humiliated, suffers, becomes sick, experiences the death of a loved one, whatever it might be. If when the wound comes, he or she looks for someone to blame, becomes bitter, angry, hateful, returns to the small self, there will be no spiritual journey.
Well, I want to recap just a little bit what Father Rohr says at the beginning, is that in order to move from stage three to stage four, you had to experience a major defeat or a shock or humiliation or some type of suffering. And I have myself personally, there's a lot of reflection in this for me when I have experienced all of these that he has described. And right now, as we're going through this very transitional place in our country and the world, there is a lot of suffering, I sense, going on, and a lot of suffering that's being revealed, and maybe even suffering that has been so suppressed, that maybe this is inviting this great, deep, suppressed suffering to reveal itself to us.
Yeah, I think that that's really pertinent and relevant right now, this notion that we sort of require, most people, the rare mystic maybe not, but most people require that sacred wound, that utter humiliation or that shock and trauma. And this isn't to say, you know, all bad things happen for a reason. This isn't that lighthearted cliche. This is truly a reckoning with our limitedness and our fragility. And, you know, I think that's rooted in many religious traditions, with my home tradition being Christianity. I think about how, you know, it's related to this idea that Jesus says it's easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than for a rich person to experience the kingdom of God. And I think that that's what this is, right? That unless our privilege takes some knocks, unless we have to face our own limitations and weakness and pain, how can we ever encounter God? How can we ever begin that dependency and spiritual relationship that is embodied in level four?
Well, and there is a hope that there is consciousness in individuals that they would long for this leap from three to four. But then maybe there are those that are not that hungry to make that leap.
Right. And, you know, this sacred wound that Rohr talks about, you know, there are different responses. One is you can really double down on what you said. You can say, I'm not weak. This happened to me, and I blame this person, and I blame this system, and I have this excuse. And that happens a lot, especially among privileged groups, that you look to blame what's around you for what is happening to you. But if instead of blaming that and externalizing the pain you're feeling, if you can sit with it and go through it, that I think is, and sort of learn to reckon with that weakness, I think that is where we can embrace our shadow self and no longer be defined by that pain.
And what Father Rohr says is that it's, and this is so, so important, mm-hmm. what do we do with that woundedness?
Yes.
And what one chooses to do with being wounded mm-hmm. is the determining factor in one's life
or will
one's
there not
journey.
Be a spiritual journey.
Yes.
Well, let's hear what he has to say next.
But at stage four, you've had the beginnings of enough inner experience. Enough inner awareness. It's not just my thoughts and feelings are who I am, and those are rather superficial, but my deeper intuitions and the felt knowledge in my body. Now, don't be scared off by that. Stay with me. Is who I am.
Stage four, I find to be very difficult to articulate the healthiness of stage four. That, before it becomes stagnant, or it's really difficult to articulate what it is to finally learn to lean into these deeper intuitions and your physical experience of the world. It's a really difficult phase to put into words, which is not helpful when you're doing a podcast.
Well, I'm wondering if our audience aren't thinking the same thing. Mm-hmm. How do you talk about this? Mm-hmm. And when he speaks about the inner awareness, and discovering the inner awareness, the feeling of knowledge in my body is who I am.
Yeah, I mean, I really think that we see this. You can't really explain it in a logical way, because that would be this level three thing to do. But I think that we all have stories of this, right? I have a memory of myself. I'm from rural Nebraska, so literally as far away from the ocean as you can be on the planet, except for maybe some places in Asia. But the first time I saw the ocean, I was 20 years old, and this was right at this moment where I was first encountering sort of my true self, letting go of my ego and finding the opportunity to move into level four. And I had just been at a church service at Canterbury Cathedral, and my friend and I took the train to Dover, England, and saw the ocean for the first time. And I was just really taken with all that that meant, and the spirituality I encountered in the cathedral versus the spirituality I was encountering in the water, and what was the relationship there. And sitting there and feeling the water around me and the cool air, and just, I remember I sort of launched into almost an emotional conversation with what I would have called not God, right? God was this guy who we had talked about that morning, and this guy in the sky that I had grown up, you know, doing apologetics for, that proving that God was this and he was that and he was this. And I had left that aside as in sort of my level three, and had, you know, bracketed those norms and pushed back against them and didn't believe in that God anymore. But I started having this sort of communion with this other thing that was clearly there with me. And the word God wouldn't have been a good one for me at the time. That was a word that was broken. But I knew there was something more, that I existed in love, and I wasn't alone in that. And that was sort of my first awareness that no matter what I believed or what I did, that I existed in love.
And you've tapped into something that launches you into that place, right? That mystery, that inner self, that inner being.
Right. That encounter with a new geography, that encounter with a new experience, a new place, simultaneously with the time to sit and really contemplate is what I was doing.
Well, let's listen a little bit more to what Father Rohr says about discovery of your soul.
Mm-hmm.
This level where you discover your soul, your inner life, is so fascinating, so such a breakthrough, that many people are convinced that stage four itself is enlightenment. So suddenly you're listening to your dreams, you know, you're going to a therapist, you're keeping a journal, you're doing yoga, you're going to every, you know, New Age workshop in Texas, and every one of them's got, this is good stuff. And it is, some of it, not all of it. But you're so excited by the inner life that you really get your development often gets arrested at that level. There is so much to do at that level. And this is filling the libraries and bookstores of the world, you know? The self-help books, the self-awareness books. Even many people use contemplation simply at that level. But if you stay there too long, brothers and sisters, it leads to individualism.
Father Rohr talks about this level being so fascinating and such a breakthrough. And I really enjoyed your story a few moments ago about seeing the ocean for the first time. And how interesting it is, water, the presence of water and these grand bodies of water. And I want to share a story. I was fortunate enough to make that very difficult trip to Iona. And
it's a life dream of mine.
It's not easy to get there,
no.
But many people make this pilgrimage. Mm-hmm. And it happened for me on the Isle of Iona, and I was with some other friends of mine, all female, and there's a place on the Isle of Iona that is very difficult to get to, and I don't think that many pilgrims actually ever make it to this. It's kind of a hidden place, but you have to wade into the ocean, into the sea, into the Irish Sea, and then you have to climb over these rocks, almost large rocks. They're not easy to just, you know, step over. You have to climb these rocks, and then you have to move beyond and then down the other side of these rocks. And if you make it that far, there is a cave. And you move into this cave, and you can sit there, and it actually is almost a tangible physical experience of the inner self. And especially if you're female, because if you look, however the rocks are formed, there is almost like red veins.
Oh, wow.
Almost like you're sitting in a womb.
Oh, my goodness.
Where birth is taking place. So it allows you to move into the inner self. And then when you move from this hidden cave on the Isle of Iona, you move out into a world that you have never experienced before.
Oh, that's amazing. I love, I really think level four is better articulated through story and experience than through argument or intellect. And that's, you know, that's really what Father Rohr affirms in what he's just said, that unlike level three, where if you counter a new idea, you are certain that's wrong. I'm right. This must be wrong. At level four, you're almost the reverse, right? Everything is great. Oh my gosh, I'm definitely Buddhist. Oh, but I'm also Muslim, and I'm Jewish, and I'm atheist, and I love all these books, and I want to go on all these pilgrimages and all these retreats, and oh, it's all so wonderful.
And spend my hours in yoga
exactly,
class.
Exactly. I am the type of person who is dangerously close to just sitting in level four and never leaving. I would love to do some contemplative chanting all day long and put on my yoga pants and, you know,
walk my labyrinth.
Be that progressive, exactly. Be the sort of stereotype of the woke mom of level four, which is a dangerous spot, because if you stay there too long, you become completely myopic, completely egotistical, completely focused on your own experience of God and out of touch with the other.
So we eventually do have to leave that place.
Right.
Otherwise, the individualism becomes all so consuming that we lose our way.
Right, exactly. That I have to every single year take this pilgrimage to this place that costs all this money, and I have to, and you, I can't do that right now as a level, my level one has to take care of my kids, and my, you know, there are elements of, my level two has to go to work, and there are these elements.
And I have to give back.
Exactly.
Think of the other.
Yes, there are all these, we can't live in that world.
No.
And if we do insist on maintaining that, we will lose touch. So let's hear what he has to say about that.
The great limitation of stage four is that there's really, if the person would be honest, there's been no encounter with otherness, with the beyond, with the transcendent, with the holy. Oh, they'll call all kinds of things holy, but they're still usually things that are they can control, and things that are attached to them. They're using religion very often as a technique, as a formula. If I do this, if I do that. And they have found the up-to-date formulas, the up-to-date techniques that are, you know, two-thirds right. So I want you to learn it. But it can lead you to be very self-absorbed. Keeping a journal of your dreams becomes the way of your life, you know. You're 80 years old and still recording your dreams and have never done one day of volunteer work in your life. Do you understand? This is not transformation, right? This is not enlightenment. Even the Buddha says that. You know, if you do not use your transformation, the 12-steppers call it the 12th step, to enlighten other people, to help, to serve the larger suffering world, you are not a very enlightened person at all. And if, you know, at a certain point I stopped giving, I still do once in a while, but stopped giving retreats at retreat houses. I don't want to undo any retreat houses who might be represented here, but I found out there's a whole cadre of people who make it a way of life to go to retreat houses. They just do, you know, a self-help spiritual workshop every other month. And there's no evidence they care about the poor. They care about anything beyond America. They're totally for war. They're totally for greed and consumption. They, You say, this is not enlightenment. This is not a high level of awareness, but it has often passed for a high level of awareness because, frankly, it looks pretty good. If most of the culture is at 2 and 3, 4 looks transformed. You follow me? And 2 and 3 is where most of us are at. In general, the conservative personality gets trapped at 2. My external group, my external behavior is who I am. The progressive person gets trapped at stage 3. My thoughts, my feelings are who I am.
As I said, I could dwell, and I am that dangerous person that would love to just abide in level 4 all day long. But I think that, you know, that there is so much loss there. I love what he says about how if we don't use that little taste of enlightenment that we've encountered at level 4, we'll lose it. It'll evaporate, right? I could, as part of why I've chosen to live in Jackson, Mississippi, I'm not your typical Jackson, no. Mississippian. But here is a place where I every day encounter people very unlike me in multiple ways. There are very few people who are much like me at all here, but there are lots of different kinds of people. And so I'm constantly in contact with the human other, and that helps me encounter the divine other, and as well as encounter that divine within myself. It'd be easy to move to Portland, Oregon, and, you know, buy more yoga mats and start a goat farm or whatever it is that I would do.
A goat farm.
I know. Who knows? You never know what could happen to me in Portland. But it's just that choice to invest in community that does pull you away from the ethereal experience, but that you have to do it, or otherwise your newfound transformation is fleeting.
Well, and it's interesting that we do live in this culture in the Deep South. Mm-hmm. We can choose to retreat into ourselves. Mm-hmm. It's really kind of hard to do that mm-hmm. here because you're so surrounded by the other. We're so mm-hmm. surrounded by life, raw life that's actually happening, and we can't go
right.
anywhere. We can't go to the grocery store.
We certainly can't go on a hike. There's nowhere to do it.
That's right. And it's dangerous to do a bike ride.
Yeah. Oh my gosh, you'll fall in a giant pothole.
A pothole. But I do think that this culture invites us and nurtures actually that level 4 for those right. who are open to that.
Right. Absolutely. Yeah. I mean, I think that's how we found one another here in this community. And
I think so. There are suffering.
Right. But that's what I really value about the community I found here of those who have tasted level 4 is that because of that insistence that we are constantly engaged with those different from us, and in many ways, whether it's ideologically, racially, economically, there just is an existence of other in this town. It helps facilitate progress and meaning along the stages of spiritual development.
I think also for people moving into stage 4 and experiencing stage 4, you really do get a clear sense of how our brokenness mm-hmm. Can help us be conscious of other people's brokenness.
Absolutely.
And it for me, it encourages me to want to reach out, to mm-hmm. be a part of my community, mm-hmm. to be more involved mm-hmm. With others who are experiencing this brokenness, maybe even beyond what I have
Absolutely.
Experienced.
Absolutely. I think that is so true. I love what Father Rohr says about how institutional religion is generally dependent on and supported by those who are actually in the level 2, because at level 3, you get a lot of combative folks leaving. At level 4, while those might be spaces where level 4 folks would thrive, there's nothing at stake in the way that there is for level 2. There's not that fear. And so the progressives at level 4, which typically tend to be progressive types, don't share it with their kids, right? There's not that right. longstanding religious tradition of going to mass every week or reading the Bible every day, as I don't bring my babies to yoga with me, right? There's not right. that impetus. I don't feel like there's anything necessarily eternally at stake whether or not my kids learn to do yoga. And so it's a really interesting dilemma, and part of why I think religious institutions struggle to embody the very spiritual journey that they exist to facilitate.
I think our religious institutions hopefully are paying a lot of attention to what Father Rohr has to say about these stages of spiritual development.
That would be great.
Because I think that the statistics indicate that the church seems to be fading.
Yes.
And if these institutions were able to offer something that would be able to, would not so much be so concerned about preserving the institution.
Right.
As that of preserving the individual themselves.
Yeah, the community as opposed to the structures. But it's a difficult, difficult sell. We
what
live
a
in a very
act.
Stage two world,
yeah.
Stage three world. So
yeah.
It's a challenge. Hopefully in wonderful places like I've found here with y'all, we get a chance to embody these things and explore them without those fears.
I've really enjoyed and have been enlightened, I suppose. I mean, all of this is fresh,
mm-hmm.
even though I've heard Father Rohr speak of this
right.
before, but hearing it again allows me to look in the mirror, question myself,
yes.
The decisions that I've made,
yes.
the anger that I carry,
mm-hmm.
Tendency to be revengeful,
absolutely,
to others who I feel have wronged me.
Right.
It's an interesting place to stop and to be very reflective. Where do I want to be, and
really.
Do I want to move into mm-hmm. that next stage, carrying all of those
right.
other stages with me,
right.
Or do I want to just be stuck?
Right. Oh, it's a really hard question, and we I think as individuals are facing that in our lives and. I think as we referenced earlier, we as a culture are facing some of these big questions. What will we do with our deep wounds? How will we move forward? And can we help one another and see God or love in the other? Hopefully we can find a way to do
hopefully
that.
Hopefully we can. Well, in our next podcast, we are going to talk about level 5, which I'm not sure how many of us ever get there, but we will see, and we will continue to work at all of these stages. And so if you're interested in purchasing the Faith and Reason seminar with Father Rohr and Sister Joan Chittister, it is titled The Human Spirit and the Times We Live In. You can visit our website at faithandreason.org, faithandreason.org, and you can purchase that for your own review and continued listening.
This program is produced by Faith and Reason, a program of the D.L. Dykes Jr. Foundation.